So I'm going to ask folks if you would just go ahead and mute yourself for right now. That would be really helpful. And I'd like to say welcome, welcome back to Chi Talks. Today is May 12th, 2022. I'm your host, Vicky Della Gioia. I'm really excited to welcome our three guests this evening, Francesco Garopoli, Tom Rogers, and Josie Weaver, who are going to be discussing Qigong healthcare and how Qigong can support Western medicine. So for those of you who are coming to Qi Talks for the very first time, yay, I'm glad you found your way here. Qi Talks is a free program and it's sponsored by the National Qigong Association, which is a member-based organization offering education, research, and community for anyone interested in Qigong. And you can join us here on Qi Talks every second Thursday of the month when we invite one or more of our professional members to present their expertise and wisdom with us. That said, while all Qi Talks presenters are professional members of the National Qigong Association, the views, recommendations, and opinions on this program are always those of the guests and don't necessarily reflect any official policy, position, or endorsement of the NQA. Before I introduce this evening's panel, let me introduce Carolina Silva, who is joining us once again at the late night in Portugal, and she's going to be making a few suggestions on how best to view this evening's program. So Carolina, would you come on and talk?
Hi, my name is Carolina, and I am your tech support for the evening. To make it more enjoyable, we recommend selecting gallery view and turning off your camera for now. Your video for now by clicking the icon that looks like a little video camera. Once your video is off, if instead of faces now you see a bunch of black boxes with names or photos, you are seeing the non-video participants and you probably want to hide them. For that, go to the video icon at the bottom of your screen, click the up arrow, select video settings, scroll down a little bit and check the box that says hide non-video participants. If you are watching from a phone or a tablet.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, Carolina. Let's get to this evening's show. So let me introduce our panel members. Tonight, we have a returning Qi Talks guest. Francesco Garopoli is an internationally recognized senior Qigong and meditation instructor, yoga practitioner, musician, brainwave researcher, author, doctor of divinity, and wellness advocate. Chair Emeritus of the National Qigong Association and Chair of the Qigong Institute, Francesco's featured on award-winning Qigong videos practiced by hundreds of thousands around the world. He offers workshops, online courses, private coaching sessions, and instructor certification programs through the nonprofit Community Awake organization. Josie Weaver is a meditative movement teacher with multiple certifications in Tai Chi and Qigong, yoga, and bodywork, who's developed curriculum at the Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, and currently teaches Qigong and Tai Chi for chronic pain for both private clients and in clinical settings in the San Francisco Bay Area. She's president emerita of the A Healer Within Foundation, an organization committed to increasing the number of trainers, teachers, and practice leaders of mind-body healing arts. She currently serves as vice president on the board of the Qigong Institute, promoting the scientific understanding of Qigong. And if you attended our online conference last September, our final panelist, Tom Rogers, who is the president of the Qigong Institute, gave a comprehensive data-based lecture on Qigong healthcare, an amazing lecture, really full of information. Tom is a certified Qigong and Tai Chi teacher. He's co-authored manuals on teaching Qigong and Tai Chi and articles on Qigong standardization, regulation, and legislation. And as president of the Qigong Institute, promotes scientific research on Qigong for medical professionals, scientists, Qigong practitioners and teachers, and policymakers. He's the author of a new ebook, An Introduction to Qigong Healthcare, available through the nonprofit Qigong Institute. We're going to be talking about some of that this evening. So welcome to all three of you. I'm so grateful that you're taking the time to be here. Welcome all of you. And Carolina, can you go ahead and spotlight everybody? So Francesco, let's start with you. As somebody who's been chair of both organizations, the National Qigong Association and the Qigong Institute, could you tell us a little bit about your idea When we were sort of initiating this Chi Talks program, what was your idea about bringing this all together?
Thank you, Vicky, and thank you for making this happen. Before we started, you said this was the 94th Chi Talk, and I hope everybody realizes what that means. I mean, that's 94 times pulling together this community and building this community. And that's why we're here tonight, because we have a community. And, you know, there's something so beautiful about that. And for over 20 years, you know, I've been certifying people to be Qigong instructors. And that comes with a big responsibility, because these people go out into their communities teaching Qigong at a variety of venues. And during that same amount of 20 plus years, I've been on the certification committee, volunteering for the National Qigong Association, helping to be the only real national certificating body in the United States for Qigong practitioners and clinicians. And then as the chair of the Qigong Institute, we have the piece I always thought was the missing piece. And what's so important about tonight, and I think you'll all understand where I'm coming from and in agreement, that what the Qigong Institute offers is the scientific, research-based information that makes those other two offerings, the certifying of teachers and the certifying of clinicians, so important. Because even if you are a practitioner of Qigong, right, you just practice on your own, you're in the same category as everyone else, because at some point you have to agree someone's going to ask you. It might be a family member, it might be a client, it may be the place you want to teach at. What's this Qigong all about? And it seems so funny to ask that question when you've been practicing for so long. You know, I started this when I was 18. So for me, why do you practice Qigong? Well, it's so in my blood. But you have to remember why we're here together, why you guys are all taking time, why Vicky does this every month, why Caroline's helping, why Tom and Josie are doing this, is because we know a lot of people don't understand the first thing about Qigong, or maybe they have the tiniest piece of it. And when a family member or a client or a venue asks you about Qigong, you better have some information that is mainstream, science-based, tangible. So it's not just, oh, I practice Qigong because I feel so good, right? And a lot of you might say that, like me. You know, Qigong makes you feel great. You know it from a personal, empirical place. But why we're together tonight and why this is an important Qi Talk is because you can't just say that and make someone understand your feelings. But when you hear what Tom and Josie have to say and what's in this amazing, cool ebook, remember, we're volunteers. And this book is just to support a nonprofit organization like the National Qigong Association. So we're all here because we care, and that we know if healthcare is going to change in America, in the world, you've got to meet it where it is. That means you've got to have science-based, peer-reviewed, good studies that can help a person who's on the fence about Qigong say, I didn't realize it did that for your heart. I didn't realize you could use that to reduce stress in such a quantitative way. So even if you're watching tonight and you're here because you love Qigong, this is about upping the game and learning a language so we can really spread this in a practical and tangible way to people who can benefit from it. So that's where my heart is on this.
Thank you so much, from your heart to ours, Francesco. What a beautiful introduction. I appreciate you. Tom, let me ask you, let's just start out with the Qigong Institute. For folks who are either part of the NQA or Qigong practitioners themselves, or may not have heard of Qigong Institute, could you tell us a little bit about the purpose of the organization, what its primary mission is?
Well, the primary mission of the Qigong Institute is to promote the scientific understanding of the basis of Qigong. And it was started by Dr. Ken Senser, who completed a very successful long career as a materials scientist at Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park, California, in the early 80s. And he had like over 70 papers and a number of patents. And so he retires, and then he goes, boy, I'd sure like to find something that would satisfy my intellectual curiosity. So it took him a little while, but he I don't know how he did it, because he never told me, but and Effie didn't either, but he ran on to Effie Chow somehow. And Effie turned him on to Qigong, and he said, wow, this is very, very interesting. So he looked at the what research was available, and there wasn't that much Western research available. So he looked to China, and China in the end of the late 70s, early 80s, started to do Western style research on Qigong. So Can attended conferences, and he got conference proceedings. And good news, bad news. The bad news is the conference proceedings were in Chinese, but the good news is that the abstracts were in English. And so Ken went and transcribed about 840 abstracts and put them in an online database with a few other abstracts. And so by 1996, he had an online database, first one for Qigong, and one of the first online databases for anything, medically oriented. And he wrote a seminal paper, Anti-Aging Benefits of Qigong, in 1996. And so he was reporting on Qigong research for hypertension and cardiovascular function, cancer, bone density, stress, a lot of things that would go against your ability to age. And interestingly, one of his key findings was that Qigong plus drugs was more effective than drugs, but it wasn't that clear why. So the interesting thing is that since then, and especially since the turn of the century, the research has made it very clear how and why Qigong is so effective as a health practice and as a biopsychosocial clinical therapy. And this is something that we've sort of summarized in this ebook, and there's like 120 papers that give the details on that.
Thank you, Tom. Josie, let me just bring you into the conversation here. How did you get involved with the Qigong Institute?
Yeah, it's kind of a great origin story. And thank you, Tom and Francisco, for being here. And of course, Vicky, thank you for the question and for hosting Qi Talks. So I'm coming to the Qigong Institute as a lover of information. And one of the things that I really, really wanted was to deepen my practice. And just as a teacher of Qigong, as a teacher of meditative movement, really wanted to go deeper. And that included, you know, serving more people, but also understanding what is it that happens when you do Qigong? What is it that happens personally? What happens physiologically? What happens spiritually? So Qigong Institute has had this enormous growth over the last 25 years that Dr. Ken Sancier founded it, created the database of abstracts, and then our wonderful Tom Rogers, president of the Qigong Institute, has populated that database year after year after year since, I'm going to go on a limb here, Tom, 2008, was it?
Yeah,
when you started to really collect. And so 1,000 articles, 1,000 abstracts turned into 16,000 just over the years, right? So just think about that, just being that surveyor of the land, watching the landscape in terms of what is the research that's coming forward. And one thing that's happened is that there's been more research coming out. And so, gosh, if I really wanted to deepen my practice and my teaching, I came to the right place. And Tom and I know each other just from the circles, right? From the NQA conferences, from Dr. Roger Yanka's Institute of Integral Qigong and Tai Chi, where we both studied and developed curriculum together. It started to be this thing where, how do we get more information? And then how do we share this? How do we share this information? And lo and behold, I started to reach out and teach at a chronic pain, for a chronic pain audience. And I was, you know, a little bit scared, you know, about that. Like, I don't know anything about chronic pain. I know Qigong is good for you, but can people in pain do Qigong? And there it is in the database. There's abstracts. There's research that shows that, yes, indeed, Qigong is really good for pain. And in that spirit of moving is actually really good for pain. So that's something that I discovered just in researching and in researching this audience that I just had the grace to be able to work with. And then it just kind of snowballed. I just started to teach more chronic pain, started to really understand what are the essential needs of chronic pain. And there's what we say about pain. If you Google pain, right, if you go even just to Wikipedia, you'll see there's seven kinds of pain, right? So there's, you know, gastrointestinal, there's musculoskeletal pain. There is a lot of kinds of pain, you know, just, you know, migraine, it's just a lot. And just how can we actually help and make a difference? And so I actually started working very seriously for pain centers and teaching Qigong in their programs. And they are designed really to bring people back into function. And it just had Qigong written all over it. The programs are called functional restoration programs. That just sounds like Qigong, doesn't it? It's just brilliant. And so I've just been able to amass more information and just work more closely as a result of really getting a really good foundation of the research of Qigong from the Qigong Institute. And so, you know, I've gone on to go train more with Dr. Beth Darnell, who's actually developed mind-body practices. She doesn't call them Qigong, but they're mind-body practices that are just real treatments for pain. And so just like, hey, I'm certified to do that. I'm there. So, you know, it's just been this great journey of being able to really enrich myself as a Qigong practitioner, as a teacher, and as someone who fundamentally wants to share Qigong with others. Just more people doing Qigong. It's just like, I'm getting all teary here, thinking that that's a vision that I have. And that's a vision that mentors of mine, they're here in the room, right? You know, Francesco, Tom, Dr. Roger Yonk is also in the audience. Thank you, Roger, for being here. You know, just really have really shared that with me. So I'm coming here just really wanting to share more. And that's where, you know, this is where you do it. This is how you can do it. This is one of the roads, you know.
So that initial part of you that said, I want to deepen my understanding, has now mushroomed into something that has just gone beyond what you initially even imagined, which is kind of how it all works. Yes. So I want to bring us back to the actual piece of work that you guys just have completed this article about Qigong healthcare. So I'd like to ask you, maybe Tom, what was the need or the needs that you saw that prompted, you know, this is a significant amount of work that you put in. I've had an opportunity to look at this. Tell me a little bit about what was the need or needs that you wanted to meet by when you started this project?
Well, there were a couple. I already mentioned the research, but another one was about 3 years ago, a new organization popped up and they said, we're going to start standardizing and regulating certifying teachers. And Josie and I wrote a paper, a comment on their paper, and said, well, you know, you really need to consider these other things. And at the same time, not too much after that, we started seeing issues with legislation. And Tom Bowman with the NQA and the legislative committee is doing a great job of staying on top of that. But what we saw was that both of the organization that popped up, as well as so many different states, legislatures and legislators were not informed by the science. They just didn't have a clue. And so we really wanted to inform them, just to give them, here, take this, read this, and it's going to explain what's going on. It's going to explain what Qigong really is, because there's a lot of misinformation about it. So that was one really large reason why we wanted to do it. But another one was in 2020, the National Center for Complementary Integrative Health, NCCIH, held a public forum for their 2021 to 2025 strategy. And so the Qigong Institute provided input to that. And we're very happy to see that it ended up, Qigong and Tai Chi are actually mentioned by name in the strategy. So that's pretty cool. But what's the, I think what's more significant is the new head of the NCCIH, Helene Langevin, who used to be at Harvard, has really done a great job in steering the organization, I think, in a really exciting direction, which is a focus on mind-body practices. So number one, it's a focus on mind-body practices. And number two, it's this idea of whole person health. So it's moving beyond the biomedical model to what's called a biopsychosocial model, which adds in the psychological and social aspects of health, which are huge. And included in that is really self-psychotherapy, which is the realization that Qigong is a practice that's really saying, hey, you need to change your lifestyle. You need to change your behavior. And that's pretty cool because the science explains how and why that's happening. And so there's this new term to cover that, which is interoception. And we can talk about that in more detail, but all of that's covered in the ebook. And it's good to see that both NCCIH and the Veterans Administration are wholeheartedly pushing this idea of whole person health, which includes getting the person to take responsibility for their own healthcare.
You have any thoughts about this, Francesco? You're looking contemplative. I'd love to hear what you're thinking.
You know, it's funny because you could say now is the time for this, but I remember back in the early 90s, you know, I'd met Ken Sancier back in the early 90s through Effie Chow in San Francisco. And here's this guy who cares. He's a scientist, you know, from Stanford, head of the Stanford Research Institute, you know, very linear thinker, and he's got his collection of information and had it on a DVD at the time, and he's passing them out one at a time, and people were so interested in this. And I'm thinking, you know, we've got to get this out to more people. And I was consulting Mount Sinai Hospital in Toronto at the time and teaching Qigong there, and it was fascinating that they canceled the classes I was teaching and then sat me down. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's wrong with Qigong? Wasn't anything wrong with Qigong. The doctors said, we need to have classes for us first. Mm-hmm. So I shifted the whole presentation to the head of departments of oncology, psychiatry. You know, it was unbelievable. The neurology departments, these people were so interested in Qigong. This was 25 years ago. So this will always be something that is coming up into consciousness and dropping back down. We're lucky now we're back up into consciousness again. I think this last pandemic situation has really woken people up to what are alternatives to helping us? What are the things that can give us an edge? And when you look in the data, just like I did with Dr. Sancier's little DVD at that time, and I said, we got to bring this online. And that's why he actually brought me on. I think I was suckered into helping to make the transition. As he was transitioning out of his body, he wanted to transition his legacy. And that's why asked Tom to get involved. So we all knew it though. No one could say no, right? Because you know, if we have a database, and I know many people don't want to look at computers and deal with this, you want to just feel good about Qigong, but trust me, go to the database at the Qigong Institute, it's free. You'll see how this ebook came out. It all came from this database. And when you type in something that's meaningful to you or your loved ones or your clients about an ailment, you might be blown away to see how much research is out there that will support why a mind-body practice like Qigong can help. Just like those doctors at Mount Sinai Hospital were blown away, and they had to deal with their own personal constructs about how to face their patients and how to face their own issues. So I think this is what's so exciting now. We've upped the vibration to a level where there's so much good information. If you read this ebook, you'll see that you can apply it in a practical way. And I think that's the key here. How can we help people break out of that mold of going immediately to a doctor, immediately taking medication? As Tom already said, even if you're doing that, the research is solid that a supportive Qigong practice can reduce your need for medication and help you find a trajectory to get off of it. So this is the promise, why we're all in this.
It's beautiful. So Tom, I know we don't have a whole lot of time, and that this book is actually, you know, it's really a solid piece of work. Tell us a little bit about what's actually in it that people can, you know, have a little bit of a sense of it before they run out and get it.
Well, it's sort of a greatest hits, actually. It's 120 of my favorite papers that really explain what the basis of Qigong. So there's so many examples.
Can you headline those greatest hits? What are the
headlines? Yeah, well, the headlines, right. Well, first of all, the autonomic nervous system. So, you know, in 1975, Herbert Benson comes out with his relaxation response. And I think people are really familiar with that. What they don't realize is when it first came out, it didn't have any breathing involved with it. So it was just basically sort of mindfulness light. But it turns out the research now says, well, you do breathing, diaphragmatic breathing, and you're going to activate your parasympathetic nervous system.
And now, I'm imagining for you, Josie, that's exactly the kind of work that you were then applying in the chronic pain issues. Is that right?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, there is hard data. There's real data, you know, that says that when you are spending time regularly in those great autonomic states of relaxation, which we all know that's relaxation, you actually experience pain less. You know, your sense of pain changes. And of course, you couple that with your positive thinking and your belief that in yourself, that, you know, what you do makes a difference. And wow, you're on the road, you know, to functioning again, or, you know, returning back to life. It's just amazing. But yes, total application of that very principle.
So I know I interrupted you, Tom. I invite you to finish your thought and then tell us other greatest hits.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, as you probably know, I could rattle on for another hour about the greatest hits, but.
Well, you are an encyclopedia in and of yourself.
So I'll just say one other thing about the autonomic nervous system and then maybe get on to one other thing. So the autonomic nervous system, even in medical schools, is taught as a teeter-totter. So the, you know, one goes down, the other goes up, and vice versa. Well, I got to thinking about that and I went, oh, wait a minute. Okay, so here I am, I'm doing my Qigong and I'm going, you know, rest, digest, parasympathetic, but wait a minute, I'm doing Tai Chi at the same time. Now, how's that work? Well, it turns out that the autonomic nervous system is not a teeter-totter. You can have any combination of percentages of parasympathetic and sympathetic. And that gives you a whole lot better idea about the way it actually works.
Now, I love that. It really allows for the complexity of what our experience is, as opposed to the sort of fake binary, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. So what else? Tell us.
Okay, well, I'll just throw one out here. Oxytocin is the neurotransmitter of interoception via the vagus nerve. So
that's a lot of terms. You may need
terms, but the people who like that kind of stuff will probably like it. So the thing that's really impressed me about one of the biggest things that impressed me about the research is, first of all, you start with mindfulness, and everybody's good on mindfulness. Okay, but mindfulness gets you the present moment awareness, present moment experience. It's your perception of present moment experience. And everybody goes, great, that's good. But there's a whole lot more to it, because if you start looking at self-care and you start looking at health space care, healthcare for the person, you've got to go beyond the mindfulness. So what does that mean? Well, it means that you listen to what your body's saying, and people are familiar with that too. Oh yeah, I know about that. Well, it turns out that your brain's got a model of your experience, and it compares your present experience that's coming in through your mindfulness with what your model is. And when there's a disconnect in that, that is associated with disease. And that whole process has been given a term, and it's called interoception or interoceptive awareness. And interoception is very much about what's going on with the vagus nerve. And it turns out the vagus nerve is the nerve that's delivering the parasympathetic nerve impulses to the brain where they can be operated on. So I think that's probably like the biggest things that I've found with regard to the science is what's going on with the autonomic nervous system and the interoception.
And so in this ebook is the sort of the concept, and then it's the data that supports that, the scientific
right.
data that supports that concept, which is then allows us, those of us who are trying to share about Qigong a little bit more around how we can really base this on something that's a foundation that speaks to a Western model. Is that correct? Is that how you...
Yeah. And another thing about it that I found really interesting about this neural modeling of your experience, everybody goes, oh, you
what
know,
does neural modeling
is so
mean?
Great.
Wait a minute. What does neural modeling mean?
Well, it's what I just mentioned about the fact that your brain is developing a model of your experience. Yeah. And when you feel something, it compares what's coming in through your senses with that model, and then it acts on it. So that kind of explains the way intuition works, because you sort of have this feeling, well, okay, you've got this model that says that when this happens, I react this way. Okay. So you want to break that and say, wait a minute, I want to spend a little bit more time analyzing what decision I'm trying to make here so that I might actually make a better decision, which means in the case of medical, I don't go down the path of, oh, I'm just going to be traumatized or I'm going to be depressed. I'm going to go, wait a minute, maybe I don't need to feel that way. So you're kind of
unlinking some of that neurotransmitting information,
right.
How neurotransmitting goes, right? You're breaking that.
And it's helping with emotional regulation as well.
Josie.
Yeah, I wanted to add to that, because this is a really critical piece that, you know, we have our sensory apparatus, which is like taking the world in, but then there's a whole communication process that's happening. And what's included in that process is also our very own thoughts. So you can think about our thoughts are like input into the system, so to speak. And then, you know, then there's a result that happens. And that's that unlinking that you're talking about, Vicky, where now there's a conscious awareness of what is actually happening. And that, Tom used the word self-regulation. That's the very skill, right? That's the skill we want, to be able to actually have the experience in life, but not be overwhelmed by it, but actually to understand it, to actually be able to have social interaction and understand each other and that sort of thing. You know, that's just like, wow, this is real practical. This is really practical information.
It is a foundation for empowerment, really, what you're talking
Absolutely.
About. It's like how we are actually empowered in making choices. You're nodding, Francesco. What, were you going to add something?
Yeah, no, it's true. And we've all been trained in our Qigong practice, and we know a term called Yi, right? Y-I. And Yi is literally bringing qi to mind. That's what it means. It's not your mind. If you go back in the etymology, the Chinese etymology of that word, it means bringing qi to mind. So that means your thoughts activate qi. And we've been taught these things, but when you could look in this ebook, for instance, or in any of the research, you can see the quantitative and qualitative analysis. That means the quantitative is the numbers, the biometric data and stuff, and the qualitative, how a person feels after practice. And when you see the combination, it makes it human. Because when some people want to see what hypercapnia levels are, what's happening with, you know, neural transmitter numbers, it doesn't sound very personal. But when you realize, I can activate functions in my body at a higher efficient level. This is what we've always been taught in Qigong. This is the promise of Qigong. But trust me, every human, including me, who is pretty much out there, I can drop into that intellectual mind and realize that when I secure it at that place, that this is what happens through interoception. This is how I can do deep diaphragmatic breathing, activate my vagus nerve, trigger the sinoatrial nerve in my heart, there's a science behind why I feel good and why I feel better. When you secure that, what happens? You own it. When you own it, you can help another person own it. Why are we doing this, right? I mean, I might be a hermit on the mountain, but I can't stay here too long without being driven to go back out into the world, and whether it's my family or friends or clients or students. And every little bit of information you have, that's why Tom has worked so hard with this. Josie's done a tremendous job to edit this ebook. It is the best hits. And it's a good way for somebody who doesn't want to go do the deep dive dig and say, here's some really cool stuff that makes sense of what I already know intuitively.
It's fantastic.
You know, that's it, Vicki. This is where we're going with this.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, thank you so much for doing what you've done to make this happen. So the next question is, how do we get access to this book that you've created? So for folks who want to, who are, you know, I'm good to go, how do they get that?
Well, they can go to the website, the Qigong Institute website. And I think first, just look at the preview. There's a preview available. And the link to that is on the homepage.
Or, and Carolina, would you go ahead and put that link on to the chat for people, the link for the preview?
The link for the preview, or there's also on the homepage, there's also a little donation button. And if you click that, it goes to the donate page. But on the donate page, there's also a preview you can look at to get an idea of, yeah, I want to do this. And then you can go ahead and get it. You can get
the, so when you make a donation, you can get the whole book,
yeah,
as opposed to just the previews.
As a PDF, correct. Yeah.
And trust me, we had a lot of issues around this because we're all volunteers for a nonprofit organization. So when it came out of this ebook, the first response was, wow, we have to give this away to everybody. And then we sat down and got some counsel from other people too and thought about it and said, there's value to this. And people need to recognize value, and the organization has a lot of expenses, so that my job as chairman, I could whine about that, you know, keeping a website going, paying for all those expenses, even though we're volunteers, people know there's costs. So all this, every single penny goes to support keeping this library growing. Tom doesn't get any remuneration from it, but sometimes we incur expenses to get more information, get more documents. So by
giving a donation creates reciprocity, right?
Exactly.
You're giving and receiving.
And it allows this body of knowledge, it's a living library, to grow and to stay sustained, because it works with the NQA, like I said in the beginning, in a critical way. If NQA is community, how do you feed a community? Well, with supportive energy, and information is energy.
Absolutely. Well, this is great. So I think it looks like in the chat we've got those links. So please go ahead and copy that and run, don't walk, to the website to get this incredible resource, that this generosity of creating this and, you know, making it for a donation that can, you know, that is absolutely very generous already. So let's reach deep into our pockets for this. I want to go ahead and open it up if you're willing to. I know we were going to talk a little bit about application, but I think you talked about that some, Josie. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up to folks if you have any questions or comments, because I know there's way more information here and background than we could ever get into in this short hour. But would love to hear from you, your own research maybe you have come across, or anything that you, questions that you have for these generous researchers who are providing this resource that you're going to be able to use in all kinds of ways. You said 120 greatest hits. Is that what you said, Tom?
Yeah.
That's huge, right? That's huge. So I'd love to hear from any of you. If you just go ahead and raise your hand, and I'm going to ask you, Carolina, to help me monitor that. Raise your hand.
Even a question, Vicki, about a particular, you know, ailment or illness.
Yeah,
it could be nice way. Somebody's curious about, hey, how does Qigong work with that?
Yeah, or what kinds of research is available for such and such? That's
exactly
a great idea, Francesco. So let's see, anybody go ahead and raise your hand and let's go ahead and start that conversation. And again, if you have stuff that you also want to share from your own research, maybe you are a researcher yourself, we want to hear that. So we've got Faye here. Hi, Faye, go ahead and unmute yourself and let's go ahead and turn on your video if you would, so that we can see and hear you. There you are. Hi.
Well, it's great to see all of you. And I want to thank the panel and Roger for saving the Qigong Institute, because like you, Francesco, I met Dr. Sansara through F.E. Chow in San Francisco a long time ago and got the DVD. I was all excited because for the last 25 years, I have introduced Qigong to major medical institutions here in San Diego, big hospitals, oncology clinics, trauma centers, et cetera. So it's a whole variety and substance abuse recovery. So saying that, I thank you because you're standing on his shoulders. And something that he brought up when I was so excited about the thousands of research, he said, and I said, well, I'm going to bring this to this hospital, you know, to make the case. And he said, well, honestly, only five of these are up to certain research standards. So there's a ton of research out there, but when we're in Western medicine with them looking at the eyes through that, and I'm glad that everything's been upped, you know, to those standards since that time, and thank you. So I stand on your shoulders with the work in these medical institutions, the one-to-one. So saying that, and I will get to a question, but there's two aspects, there's two questions that I have in particular. One is when you're in there, okay, so I've got your research, made the case, I'm hired. And so I'm starting the classes, everything is, there's all these different things. So there's two aspects, one, charting. Now, there's different, when you're in these medical institutions, they have some ways, oh, we have yoga, we got this vast array of things to do. You choose the ones you want to do, and they put it in a big category. The ones that I'm involved with are part of a patient's treatment plan and get charted. So this is a whole different area. So charting, when you do this charting, so it's the medical record, just like anything else that gets put in there, is the codes that are used. There's now the new codes that came out do have a mind body part of it, you know, to cover these modalities. However, not all institutions use them. So say you're in a pain clinic, because you brought that up quite a bit. So what can you really use to chart that you're dealing with pain? And what I found with my experience, so if the question is-
Faye, I'm going to interrupt you. Is there a question in here? Because I know I'm seeing a lot of people with their hands up. I want to be sure that everybody has a chance.
I know I can go on too much. I'll make it very quick.
I love hearing you.
The one thing is with the charting, I know this isn't in the weeds, but this helps you with the research because they can pull these records up. So what coding codes, if you know of any, that's one. And two, what standard metrics can be used in collecting this data once you're in there and you're dealing with the patients? So that's an in the weeds question. You don't have to answer it if you want, but I'd love an email if you do. The other thing is with artificial intelligence, because you really brought something up. We're going into a next generation of AI that may or may not, but challenges people's awareness of what reality is, that modifies the senses, which you brought up, Josie, before, which is true. And of course the introperception as well. So any comments on that?
Well, in terms of what metrics, there's, look at Peter Wayne's work. I just look at Maya for an introception. I think that's a really great place to start. As far as AI goes, ain't there yet. I would just sort of leave that away. If you want to look at it, look at I don't know what Carl Friston is doing in theoretical neuroscience. That's probably a good place to start. And then Josie's probably got something to say about how people are charging for this stuff.
I think the word was charting, not charging. Yeah, so this is the medical records. But Faye, I would love to talk to you about that kind of information. Where I am working, actually, I'm part of a team where the charting is actually done by others. So I'm not responsible for that. But I do communicate with the team a lot about patients and about their progress. And there's always a medical personnel, a nurse or a doctor available that even has, they can talk, actually monitor someone who is doing Qigong, right? So, so that's where we work very, very closely. But that whole, the codes they're using, I'm really delighted to know that there are mind-body codes. But I'd love to chat with you offline about that. And then the AI question, AI is actually something that I kind of studied, I have a cognitive science degree, so I know what you're talking about. And where it's kind of fitting in with the biology is in modeling, and just to see how does this happen. And it's happened modeling for just disease progression in an individual, just who's got a condition or, a multifactorial condition, or a population as well. So, this is where AI is our friend, but I also believe that there's ethics, involved that, you kind of a little bit hinted about. And that's a big deal, just to really contain that and really keep that very much in that spirit of Qigong of really being for humanity. So I'm just going to add, have that as a comment there. But let's get in touch, please. I'm going to give you my email in the direct chat, Faye. And then over to you, Francesco, if you have any comments.
Yeah, I want to add something important here. In any kind of bridging through modalities and through styles of modalities, we'll say Western medicine versus Eastern holistic medicine, there's going to be challenges if you hit it head on. So in my other hat as a member of the National Qigong Association Certification Committee, we work really hard and recently just announced a new certification level. And this is important. Follow me where we are. It's called Qigong Integrative Practitioner. And this is a certification level for a person who doesn't have their banner out as a Qigong healer, looking for a code to be charting their billing hours. This is a person who's got sufficient Qigong training. And as a Qigong integrative practitioner, you might be a functional medicine doctor. You might be a body worker. And now you bring Qigong into the Western system ninja style, which is always the way I think has going to work best. And so our goal here, and you're going to hear a lot more of this about this from the NQA, is helping people realize there's a certification level, understanding the hours. It's quite demanding to get the accumulated hours for this, but then you're backed by the NQA to go out there and whatever practice you're licensed for and you can bill for, you've got this Qigong piece now that is helping to, guide you to a different way of treating. So I think this is the promise of the future.
Thank you so much, Faye. I'm going to go ahead. I have a whole line of people. And so I'm going to ask folks if you can keep it relatively short. I mean, we may go over a little bit, but I like to honor people's time. So thank you so much, Faye, for this is provocative conversation. And go ahead, Roger. Welcome. It's good to see you. You're muted still, so I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Hi, I'm at this energy psychology conference today, and I led a workshop for these people. And one of the doctors asked me, because I was talking a lot on the terms that Tom was using, and so here comes this emergency medicine doctor asking, "Yeah, but I get all that about neurophysiological and so forth. But what about this chi thing? I'm all excited about the chi. And I'm wondering, first of all, this is very much like a Qigong conference. These people are all up into it. And so Tom, could you just mention a little bit about, have you finally just, shall we say, surrendered to the fact that the best way that the Western world can talk to itself about these things is to use these neurophysiological features Or is there anything in the hits that actually references something that we could call energy?
Well, I've been thinking about writing a paper on Qi, but the more I think about writing it, the more complicated it gets. The interesting thing is that in a lot of research I've seen, peer-reviewed research, they talk about Qi, and they, you know, it's right there point blank in these papers, you know. And I'm stunned when I see that because, I mean, it's Western medical research and they're talking about Qi, but they don't say really what it is. They say what it is in Chinese terms. And so I was thinking about, okay, I'll write a paper about it. And then you immediately have to get into bioenergy when you do that. You have to get into that. And you've got all those different types of bioenergy. And not only do you have all those different types of bioenergy, but when you get into like modeling, like we've talked about, neural modeling, all of a sudden you get into talking about information. So how is information transferred? And you go, oh, well, let's see, photons, they can transfer information, and electromagnetism can, and, you know, it's so complicated, it's unbelievable. So the easy way to do it is say, well, Qi's energy and bioenergy is a real thing, and, you know, see if you can get away with that. And if you can't, wow, I don't know. It's a little kind of cutting edge at this point, trying to explain that to people.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Roger. Louisa.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I have a quick question for Tom, and it may be unfair, so you may not want to answer it. But we've had this discussion before, and it's, with all the research that has been added since we had our discussion, which was probably 5 years ago, would you say that Qigong is being researched more than yoga at this point?
Well, I would immediately go to PubMed and do a search and then see how many of each I come up with, you know. I mean, that would be the way to find out just absolutely. But I do look at some of the yoga stuff and it's not the same quality. For the most part, it's not the same quality as Qigong, although it's probably, I don't know, reasonably similar in terms of the amount. Although I look at Qigong more, so I'd have to say there's more Qigong. But if you talk about Tai Chi, then yeah, there's a whole lot more Tai Chi, and Tai Chi is at a higher standard for sure. So I think that the Tai Chi research is really up there, but I don't see as much Qigong as I'd like to. And one of the problems is that there's so much research out there that's Qigong, but it's not called Qigong, because you'll have research on breathing. You know, you'll have research on mindfulness, and that's all Qigong, but they don't call it that. So that, you know, the researchers who are strictly biomedical will not go along with you on that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Louisa. Jay Paris, you can go ahead and unmute yourself.
Yes. Firstly, I wanted to thank the five of you for enlightening me and all of us about the research database at the Qigong Institute. I'm really excited about this. And secondly, I wanted to just share that I've been doing research with brainwaves and neurofeedback since 1992. And a lot of my studies have been before and after a number of modalities, yoga being one, meditation, but also Qigong. And I can tell you that from my research that the brain waves definitely alter and after doing Tai Chi or Qigong. And they slip into alpha and theta. It's evidence of the fact that focused, relaxed attention calms the brain waves. And I also work with what I call neurofeedback media, which outputs the data from Qigong or Tai Chi and creates music or animation. And I can tell you that the animation from low frequency brainwaves is smoother, less chaotic, and easier to look at. Whereas And with music, the music becomes calmer and more smooth and coherent. So there is a lot of evidence that I have seen to support the fact that Qigong has positive effects on the body, mind, and spirit, and the energy.
Thank you for that contribution. Appreciate you. I do want to say a few words about the NQA. We have one more person though, so I'm going to go ahead, Karen, ask you to go ahead and unmute yourself. If you can make it a little bit short, that would be great. But if you can't,
I'll try. So just real quick, I just actually came have one comment and one quick question. Just about the charting, it's a very interesting question for me. I'm actually a physical therapist, and what I've done in just throwing this out there, if it adds to the conversation at all, I don't know. But I find that, you know, if I can break down the Qigong movements in a very physical way, even though I know a lot more is going on than just the physical piece, just for the purpose of charting, as a PT, you know, I really look at the, you know, the physical movements of the, you know, the different body parts and things like that. But I almost always would incorporate some words about like relaxation, deep breathing, and things like that. And sometimes I get brave and I even write the word Qigong in my notes, you know, and sometimes I'm scared to do that. Like, oh, the insurance won't pay for it if it's Qigong. It's supposed to be physical therapy. But I do get brave and I do write that. But as long as I sort of spell out, you know, and don't just say Qigong exercises, but I really get into what are the physical components of it. But real quick, my question, I guess, for Tom is, I was really interested in what you talked about with the, like the neuro, like remodeling of your experiences. And I get that. And I know that a lot of that is how you change your perception and how you can sort of get out of like a, like the more you practice a certain negative thought, you know, it becomes practice makes perfect, right? And so how can we rethink something to in a more positive way? So my question is practicing Qigong like just setting up the environment for that in your body, like just the fact that it's, you know, putting you in such a relaxed state that it allows you to sort of remodel some of these negative thoughts, for example, or is there something else to it?
It's not just the relaxed state, because look at an Olympic athlete. They are in the flow state. So I would think in terms of a flow state, but also your perception of the flow state, and your perception is going to give you it's your perception of what's going on is doing the remodeling. So you have to provide some perception of what you're doing. It's not just the relaxation. And I wanted to make another comment about what you said about PT, because we didn't say this earlier. The American College of Sports Medicine, 70,000 professionals who are involved in sports medicine, 70,000 people around the world, that organization, 10 years ago in their position statement, which comes out every 10 years, added Qigong and Tai Chi, and they added them for cardiorespiratory, musculoskeletal, and neuromotor function. So here you have this humongous PT organization basically recommending, prescribing Qigong and Tai Chi, and that's a big deal. So I would think that since you're in that field, that might actually help you when you're writing your whatever you're writing about the patients, that should carry some weight.
Thank you so much for speaking up. I'm going to go ahead and just talk for, we're just about out of time. So I just want to take a moment to talk about the NQA, which is the sponsor of Qi Talks. And I want to invite you, if you haven't already joined our mailing list, to go ahead and do so. And you can do that by going to the website, nqa.org. And the reason to do that is so that you can be the first to know about upcoming presenters and topics for Qi Talks, as well as getting information about upcoming live and virtual events and recent research. The membership of the National Qigong Association ranges from people who are brand new to Qigong or don't even quite know what Qi, you know, what that word Qi means, all the way to people who have a lifetime of experience, including professional teachers and healers, and really seeks to, I mean, part of the diversity of that, you know, that range of understanding about this is part of, to me, of what the strength of the NQA is, because it's diverse perspectives and practices and lineages and belief systems and levels of expertise, which create a forum for exchange. So whether you're a long-term practitioner yourself or a teacher, or even if you work with other energy modalities, or you're simply curious to know more, please consider becoming a member of the organization. And what do you get if you do that? Well, their benefits include a special members-only discount prices to attend live and virtual conferences and events. This is an incredible community opportunity when we are together, whether even online or in person, to really connect. We had a wonderful conference last September and some mini conferences the year before. So you'll have discounts on all of that. So that'll kind of pay for your membership. You'll also have unlimited access to a huge archive of Qi Talks programs. Like Francesco said earlier, this is the 94th program. So it's really only available to the membership. And, you know, when we, I'm going to sort of name just some of the people who are on the Qi Talks. We've got other Qi Talks with Francesco. We also have presenters like Chenyi Lin, Tisha Bell, Daisy Lee, Solala Towler, Bill Douglas, Robert Peng, Lorelei Chang, Kimberly Ivey, Damaris Jarboe, Chung Liang Al Wang. I mean, there's so many folks over that many Qi Talks that, and we've covered a huge range of topics. So this particular one is really looking specifically at science and how do we apply that in terms of our conversation about what Qigong is and does. But we've had Qigong in meditation, Qigong in spirituality, Qigong in integrative healthcare, Qigong for children, for elders, for people with different physical abilities, for different cognitive abilities, panel discussions on Qigong for veterans, our recent panel on women's approach to Qigong, vast, vast topics. So if you go to the archive, if you're a member, go check out the archive. There's sure to be something that's going to be interesting to you. And the other benefit is if you happen to be a teacher yourself and you're a pro member, you're eligible to be a guest on Qi Talks because we actually want to help you get the word out about what your perspective is about Qigong. It's a great way to expand your list and to share your wisdom. And I think of it as spreading the Qi. But do know that in order to apply to be on Qi Talks, you do need to be a professional member. And I'm very interested to talk to you if you're interested in doing that. There's basically three levels of membership. There's general, practitioner, and professional. The general membership is $45. Practitioners or healers are $100, and professional members are $150. And as always on these calls, I offer a special discount code to you just to thank you for being here. So whether you're renewing your membership or you're joining new, you can get even more money off. And I think these prices are very reasonable for being able to be part of this community and be able to get those discounts to conferences and so forth. I know that this is kind of, you know, we are now over time, 5 minutes, and I know that there's been a lot, and there's also a lot that you haven't said, but are there any final words of wisdom that any of you would like to share before we close for the evening?
Well, the only wisdom is if somebody has a further question, then feel free to send me an email. And my contact information is on the Qigong Institute website. And also, there was one thing about the number of yoga studies versus Qigong and Tai Chi. And I think if you add up Tai Chi and Qigong and you spell Qigong, Baduan Jin also, that it's going to be equal or way more than yoga. So thanks
That's
for
a
checking,
good point.
Though,
yeah, Jeremy. Thank you, Tom, for that. Josie and Francesco, do you have anything you want to add?
Josie?
I'm going to say enjoy yourself. You know, really find that place of peace and calm in your own system, regardless of what's going on or because of what's going on all over the world, and find that calm and share it with somebody else.
Mm.
Beautiful. Vicky, thank you so much for making this happen. Caroline, thank you for your background work. And thank you everybody for making time tonight, because this is what community is all about. And there is such a power in this field of energy that we have, No matter how you label it, no matter how you quantify it, there's something you feel in your heart when you join community and you recognize you're not alone. And it's this power of connected, combined energies that we have in this field together that's going to really make the difference in the world. And the world's changing fast, and it's required now more than ever. We come from a heart resonance space. So, Vicky, thank you for living that heart resonance and for all you do to bring this community together.
Oh, thank you so much, Francesco. And thank you. I also want to add my thanks to all of you for joining for this evening's Chi Talks, and to let you know that next month on June 9th, we're going to be hosting another, I think, very special program with Larry Parker on the topic, The Tao of Seeing in the Dark, a Perceptual Approach to Adaptive Tai Chi and Qigong Beginner's Mind. As a visually impaired practitioner, he's blind and a teacher of Tai Chi and Qigong, Larry's going to share some unique insight vis-a-vis how a visually impaired person approaches managing their life, their energy, and learning process specifically tailored to Tai Chi, Qigong, and other martial and healing arts. He's a certified instructor in the Universal Healing Tao, as well as a certified instructor in the IIQTC in the areas of Tai Chi Easy and Medical Qigong, and has over 50 years of experience in the internal arts. His areas of expertise include holistic health, healing and wellness with a focus on transcendental and ascension meditation, integrative nutrition, martial arts, and related disciplines. So please put June 9th, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on your calendar tonight so that you can join us for what I'm sure is going to be another mind and heart expanding conversation. And in conclusion, I just want to give a quick shout out of thanks to our Chi Talks team, Carolina Silva, Lauren Thomas, Louisa DeCastro. Couldn't do it without you. And thank you all so much again for being here. Until next time, be well and let the chi flow. Bye-bye.